Welcome to another edition of the Hawk Off the Press podcast. I'm your host, Gazette Hawkeyes reporter John Steppy. Excited to welcome back to the podcast Chloe Peterson. Chloe covers the Indiana Fever for the Indy Star and also an Iowa alum. Chloe, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So obviously a big weekend with Fever against Brazilian national team Sunday at Carver. For a lot of Iowa fans who were probably watching a lot of Fever games last year, let's say maybe haven't been keeping up on WNBA offseason news, I guess kind of a little bit of a loaded question here, but kind of recap what's happened in a, I guess you'd say, a very eventful offseason for the Indiana Fever.
Yeah, it was pretty eventful. I mean, they were part of the largest trade in WNBA history that had four separate teams in it. I think it was 18 different assets between players and, you know, draft picks. And from that, they sent Nelissa Smith to Dallas, the number 8 pick to Connecticut. And then they got Sophie Cunningham from the Phoenix Mercury, which, and she'll be a good, you know, role player kind of in and out of the starting lineup, is somewhere where I assume she'll be. And kind of their biggest free agency signings come with kind of their first priority in re-signing Kelsey Mitchell, who was cored this offseason. So that was their biggest priority in bringing her back. And she, you know, accepted her cored designation, happy to be back to the Fever for her 8th year. And then they also signed DeWanna Bonner, who is a 15-year league veteran. And she is the playoff game appearance leader in the league. I think it's been 87 playoff games for her. And she is the active leader in points so far. She's behind Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, and but they have they've obviously both retired. So she's the active leader in points right now. And then they also signed Natasha Howard, who's a three-time WNBA champion. She's played with Brianna Stewart, Sue Bird, played on the Liberty, played on the Wings last year. So she has a ton of experience over 12 years. And then they also have an entirely new coaching staff with Stephanie White from the Sun. And she brought over Austin Kelly and Brianne January on her coaching staff. And they have an entirely new front office and Kelly Crosskopf, who is widely regarded as the architect of the Fever. She kind of built the Fever from the ground up. She was their first president when the team was founded in 2000, was their president up until 2018, until she left to be an assistant GM for the Pacers. And then when the Fever's current, or when the Fever's president, Allison Barber, stepped down last year, they convinced her to come back. And then they also have a new GM in Amber Cox. So a lot of change.
Just a few things.
Yeah.
So I guess let's talk a little bit about the head coaching change, since that's one that I think a lot of fans will notice, kind of especially. What would you say would be kind of the biggest differences in terms of what to expect from a Stephanie White-coached Indiana Fever team?
I think the biggest thing will be defense. That's been something they're really focusing on this in training camp so far. A lot of what they've talked about is improved defense, because the past 2 years, the Fever have ranked 11th in defensive rating, so they were second worst both years. And Stephanie White's Connecticut Sun team in both 2023 and 24 were second and first in those 2 years. So she obviously has a lot of defensive abilities, very defensive minded coach. And she also brought along DeWanna Bonner, who played under her in Connecticut as well. And then Tasha Howard was the 2019 WNBA Defensive Player of the Year, and she's also a very defensive-minded player. So they've talked about starting practice every day with defense, kind of just really prioritizing that, because, you know, if they're a middle-of-the-pack defensive team with how much offense they have, with obviously Caitlin Clark, Kelsey Mitchell, Leah Boston, DeWanna Bonner, all those offensive weapons, just having a middle-of-the-pack defense can make them a very good team.
And then kind of how would you say this has affected maybe the expectations for what could be within reach, you know, given just how much star power, you know, we've been talking about here?
Yeah, I think a lot of the players expect to win a championship. I know yesterday at media day, Caitlin Clark was asked, what does success look like for her for the Fever this year? And she just said, a championship. So I think that's the expectations kind of coming into this season. And I think, a lot of the outside noise is expecting that too, in the sense of, I think I looked it up the other day and ESPN Bet has the Fever with the second best odds to win the championship behind the reigning champion, New York Liberty.
And then kind of looking specifically at Caitlin, what would you say is maybe something that might be different, or kind of what should fans expect to see from her now, year two in the WNBA versus year one?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing she worked on this offseason was, just getting stronger. She talked a lot about like working in the gym with the Fever's athletic trainer. And obviously there was that photo that went viral in March of her bicep muscles. And that was something she really, prioritized, to get better, going through contact, because obviously the WNBA is a lot more of a physical league than colleges. And she was kind of popped on a lot of screens last year. She bursted her eardrum on a screen from Breanna Stewart last June. And I think a priority for her was kind of being able to, just kind of be able to take those screens better, be able to work through contact in the paint a lot better. And it will help her in her stamina and in, being able to finish games, because she's obviously going to be playing, probably 35, 40 minutes a game a lot of the time.
And kind of what do you see kind of with these high expectations? What do you see as kind of the key to whether, how realistic these expectations will be?
I think they're pretty realistic expectations for them too. They obviously brought in a lot of the star power in, Dawana and in Natasha, and they have what they call the Fever's big three of, Caitlin, Aaliyah, Kelsey. And I think that's their projected starting five as of now. And they have a pretty strong rotation in Sophie Cunningham, Lexi Hull, Damaris Dantas, and Sydney Colson behind that too. And I think they have pretty realistic expectations for a title, just if they can kind of put everything together. That's what they've talked about a lot too. And, you have a lot of people coming from a lot of different places and, a lot of, really strong players. And I think a lot of it is building that chemistry and putting everything together. And then there's obviously the luck aspect of, hopefully nobody gets hurt or has any kind of serious injury. So that's obviously, luck is a big part of championships too.
And then with, this exhibition game, at the end of the day, an exhibition game, the preseason mm-hmm. game the day before,
yeah.
Kind of what are the things you're most looking to see from this Fever team this weekend?
Yeah, kind of on the court sense, I'm just looking to see how that starting five of, Clark, Mitchell, Bonner, Howard, Boston kind of works so far. Because obviously they've worked a lot with each other in practice, but it hasn't really been a live game situation yet. So it'll be interesting to see how they, start working on it against, live competition. And I think what Stephanie White talked about today at practice was obviously managing minutes, in the sense of this is a preseason, or both of these games on Saturday against the Mystics and then on Sunday, obviously at Carver, are preseason games, and they don't want to obviously exhaust them. And so it'll be interesting to see like what kind of rotations she works on and what kind of, players who are kind of on the fringe in the back half, and see how they play and how, who gets prioritized. Cause that's to say, who will make the roster at the end of training camp, because I think right now the Fever have five players fighting for that 11th and final spot on the roster.
And then kind of a little interesting with having still another preseason game before this, so a little hard to look too far ahead, but have you sensed the excitement there in terms of this, obviously certainly unique opportunity here for Caitlin?
Yeah, I think a lot of the players are excited about it. Obviously Caitlin seems pretty excited about it. And Steph White too, she She was at the Fever, or when she was playing for the Fever in 1999-2000, they went to Mackey Arena, her alma mater, and played the game there. So she was talking today about how she knows the excitement about playing in front of your home crowd, your college crowd, and how exciting it will be for Caitlin. You know, a lot of them also talk about the lack of air conditioning in Carver, which I think will be an interesting, it'll be interesting to see how they go about that, especially on the second day of a back-to-back. So we'll see how that works.
You know, the 2035 game at Carver, maybe that gets in the renovation.
Yeah.
You know, next wave of renovations, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
For you as an Iowa alum, kind of what are you looking forward to as you head back to Iowa City?
I don't know. I'm just excited to be back there. I've gone back once since I've graduated, but obviously with this job being pretty busy, I haven't had many chances to kind of go back. I'm excited, you know, excited to get Formosa. It's my favorite sushi place when I was in college, and Poncheros. They don't have anything like that here either. So just kind of excited to be there and just be back in the place I lived for, you know, 4 years.
Well, Chloe, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in to another episode. Until next time, we will talk Hawks later.
Not a Gazette subscriber? There's no better time to support local journalism. View our latest deals for print and digital offerings at thegazette.com/subscribe. Stay informed. Be empowered. Subscribe to The Gazette today at thegazette.com/subscribe.